The Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.
Welcome to you, and we really mean it. My name is Brant, and producer Sherry is here. She's from Pittsburgh. She's an African-American lady. I'm a white nerdy guy from rural Illinois. I've got Asperger's syndrome. Sherry has friends. So there's a lot of differences.
You have friends, Brant Hanson.
I do.
Yes.
Starting with you.
Starting
with my wife and
and
my other friends. But then you're in that.
As long as I'm in the mix,
you're
that's
in that
all that
first
matters.
Group.
Thanks, Brant.
By the way, Sherry's paying for the makeup for my daughter's wedding.
Yes, I am.
Which is the kindest thing. I just want to salute you for that.
Thank you. That's what an aunt should do.
Yeah, something I never would have thought about.
Yeah, and I know when people get, like, when she gets all involved in it, she probably wouldn't think about it either, but I think it's important.
It's very important. Yeah. It probably would, the bill probably would have sprung back to me. Mm-hmm. So you're helping everybody. Everybody. It is time for Brant's Three Things. As soon as I find my awesome.
There it is.
My awesome.
It's so weird to walk into the plaza and be looking around.
Into the plaza with these scrolls. Brant's Three Things today.
Always, I try to make them just helpful, kind of helpful things. I hope they're helpful. Mm-hmm. All right, so today it's about fear. And I know we've talked a lot about fear the last few days, especially because our culture is dealing with something here. Mm-hmm. So with the coronavirus stuff, that makes it especially relevant. But it's true in general. Just a few thoughts about this, a few more thoughts about this, how to counteract it and combat it. Number one is that you can combat your fear and counteract it. And what you do is acknowledge, look, we've all got a voice in our heads, right? We hear that voice that's there that says like words. Mm-hmm. So it's like a vocal thing in your head and it's you. But that's not all of you. There's another part of your brain and thought process that can be a check on that voice. Mm-hmm. And go, nah, that's not really true. And it's something that it's really healthy to do that. And you combat it with true, good, peaceful, pure, lovely things. You put your mind on that stuff instead. But you can actually talk to yourself. It's not crazy. It's actually the height of mental health to be able to think clearly about how you think and go, yeah, I'm feeling fearful. I don't need to. Here's a second way to combat it. We're talking about how to combat fear. Like, you know this works, by the way. You know it. Do something for somebody. Like, change the train of thought from the fear thing. Okay, how can I serve somebody? It will change your outlook. It'll change your thought pattern. And you know what? It will completely change your mood, if my experience is any indication. It's something about serving people that helps us to thrive and just totally reverses our mindset. And they have found that people are if they're really scared, you give them something to do for somebody else, and next thing you know, they're like barking out orders and let's do this, let's that. Just the mere act, even just breaking away for a moment to say no, let me be a blessing to other people. Wow, it helps. Last thing on this list of how to combat fear we've been talking about is to talk about it with somebody. Like, actually, we're made for community, and it's when we aren't talking and not airing things out a lot of times that things fester and get way worse. And I say that, I mean, it may be obvious to you, but it hasn't always been obvious to me. I tend to bottle stuff up. But it's also important, too, when I am talking about something that I'm fearful of or anxious about, not to do it in a way that just whips me into more of a frenzy. Like, here's 10 reasons why you should be freaking out this too, friend. Mm-hmm. You don't need to. What I need to do is to tell somebody this is how I'm feeling and actually have somebody talk to me about it. There's a new show called Love is Blind, and it's like a romance show.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah, so people don't see each other. I guess they talk, mm-hmm. but don't see each other, and then they see each other and get married or something.
You haven't watched it?
No.
Okay, neither have I.
Interesting, there was an article about it, and the lady who was writing about it said that she watched it and said she realized how desperate our society is for love and marriage. Mm-hmm. Which is true. And I mean, we can look at shows like that and go, that's just crazy. But is it really more crazy than the way that we've structured things in our culture? Like, we've figured this out? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's any crazier than what people normally, and so the people who sign up for this show, they might be looking for fame too, but there's probably an element like, I want out of whatever's going on.
I'll try anything at this point.
You know what the dumbest moment in the Bible is, I think? It's what Pontius Pilate did. I've never really noticed this until recently.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus is talking to him. It's, you know, he's in front of Pilate at the end of his life. And Pilate is the head guy of the area.
Mm-hmm.
And he's asking Jesus some questions. Jesus says, everyone on the side of the truth listens to me. And then Pilate says famously, what is truth?
Mm.
He's asking the exact right guy. Of all the people who've ever walked in this universe, that's the guy. If you ever wanted to ask that question, what is truth? That's the guy to ask. Pilate asked the question, and this is the dumb moment. Then he doesn't wait for an answer, and he walks off.
Wow.
He's right there in front of you. He is the truth. He's right there. Listen to the answer. What is truth? And then it says, and then he turned and went to the... Dude, should have waited. Just a thank you to Fellowship Home Loans for sponsoring our podcast. They really appreciate what we do. Mike and Brian are pretty awesome. I've gotten to know them just a little bit, and I really, really like them. If you're interested at all, you need to get a mortgage or maybe refinance or something. They're very creative, and they listen. In fact, people so enjoy working with them. They've had multiple situations where people on the phone, like they're getting a mortgage or something, like, hey, can I work with you guys? Can I work for you guys?
Wow.
And they've actually hired people. like two people in their office. It's just... really like people and enjoy them. And they like thinking creatively with you. Anyway, here's the phone number for Fellowship Home Loans. It's 800-804-SAVE, 800-804-SAVE, or just go to fellowshiphomeloans.com. We were just talking about this show, Love is Blind. I guess people just talk, they don't see each other, mm-hmm. and then after like a week, and then they get married.
Yeah, I haven't watched it, but a lot of my friends watch it, and people are like, that's crazy. And I'm like, but the... it's not any crazier than what our culture sells
right,
us.
Right, exactly.
Right? Like, the whole romance thing, the rom-com thing. And, I mean,
yeah.
That's not true. Every married person I talk to says,
right.
No, that's not how this works.
So the larger culture does this stardust thing
yeah.
and the emotion base, and mm-hmm. then that doesn't work.
Mm.
But so this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Hear us on this. It's a crazy idea. Doing stuff in front of a TV camera is not a good idea.
Ever.
Yeah, ever.
Right.
But that said, again, like compare it to whatever the prevailing myths are. Like
that's not true either. So why is that crazier than this?
You can understand why people are looking for something. I bet you've noticed there's a lot of anxiety in our culture. Currently, people talk about the coronavirus, but if it's not that, it'll be something else. And I noticed something. A celebrity, a big-time celebrity, wrote an article. And she was talking about how anxious she is about politics and stuff. And I don't have to tell you who it is because it doesn't really matter. But she said, I wake up every morning and the first thing I do is I grab my phone and I hold my breath as I check the news for the, like, I want to stop her right there and go, hey, if you want to live a peaceful life, maybe before you even get out of bed and you're reaching over to look at the news, like you have to hold your breath first. Like, it sounds like an anxious life to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's something wonderful about fixing your mind on something that's not going to let you down, that's permanent. The other stuff comes and goes. But man, if you don't want peace, if you want fear and anxiety, I highly recommend start your day with holding your breath and looking at some news. That's really not a good idea. What's up? Welcome to Dilemma Street. That's right, we're hanging out on the street. We're cool and... stuff and Sherry's here too.
Whatever else you want to insert there.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm wearing my Dilemma Street Dragons jacket.
Yes.
No.
Oh,
no.
Something else today.
It's not a jacket. It's a vest.
With the...
biker vest.
Oh, a biker vest. Yeah. I thought you meant like a vest to a suit.
No.
Okay.
No, but it has embroidered.
With a little pocket square.
Yeah, that's our gang though. What are you wearing?
I don't want
wear
to
something.
Do
why
this.
Can't you do? Just, why can't you wear something just, cool? Just okay. Do the thing. You're on Dilemma Street.
I have some jeans on, some really nice black shoes,
okay,
and a black T-shirt.
Cool. All right.
Alrighty.
All right. This is our dilemma.
Like playing with my nieces.
Our dilemma is from, let's call her Caitlin.
Okay.
It might actually be her real name, in which case I'm sorry.
Okay.
But whatever. It's about Caitlin, so
all right.
We're good.
She
says, first of all, she's sliding up in her Carmen Sandiego red leather trench coat.
Hey, that's actually pretty cool.
To join us on Dilemma Street.
That's nice. I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. She says her dilemma
is at work, and boy, a lot of us can relate to this. My goodness. She says, I'm struggling to respect my boss. I'm a teacher. I love my students. I love my job at a public school. I have an excellent team and wonderful coworkers. However, the principal is not the best. He bullies. She didn't say he. Could be a she. I don't know. This okay. person, it says, bullies teachers, threatening to take away our favorite classes if we do not do exactly as they want. They model disrespect to the teachers, then get mad when teachers struggle to enforce school rules. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on here. They push teachers to bump grades from a B to an A.
Wow.
Which invalidates the hard work of students who earn those grades and ignores the fact that we teachers come early, give up lunch, and stay late to tutor students and go through makeup assignments. I love every other aspect of my job, but this person can make it really hard to come to work and be respectful. I mean, I can play the game and be polite on the rare occasion when I have to deal with this person face to face, but I'm having a hard time with my attitude and with not gossiping with other teachers who feel hurt and bullied as well. I know God says to honor those in authority over us, but I'm having a hard time living that out. Sorry for the long dilemma, she says. No problem. She says, I'll keep praying and rereading Unoffendable in the meantime.
That's sweet.
It is sweet. We both have some experience with difficult bosses and difficult leaders. Oof. Putting it mildly. So we're just kicking stuff around again.
Yeah.
Just friends, not professional counselors or anything. I have prayed for that person in several occasions to be blessed by God far away.
Mm-hmm.
Like that God would send them somewhere
give
wonderful.
Give them exceedingly and abundantly more above than they all could ever they could ask or think.
Think beyond
way
measure.
Over there.
That the distance between us would be beyond measure. And but truly blessed. I really mean it. Like
yes,
I have prayed that.
I
like truly like wonderful, like heaps of blessings on them.
Yes.
Far away. Mm-hmm. So that's one coping thing. The other thing, truly, if you want to do the most radical possible thing, it's praying for this person, for blessings on them, added to their life that's wonderful. That will help you on the day-to-day basis be able to have new eyes and look at the person differently. It's not impractical. It's not pie in the sky. It's not hyper-spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
It's loving your enemies. And the people who are driving you crazy. I had a third thought too, which is learn this the hard way, man. Keep learning it. Because I can be naive about people in leadership where I look past stuff and don't see this person is a raging narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
I've run into that repeatedly. And now I know, run away. And not, I mean, it sounds like retreat Monty Python style. Maybe so, but But run away because you can't fix that person. And that person's, if they're not leaving and you can't, and you're still going to run into this, that really can ruin a situation.
Mm-hmm. I would add that there, and this will sound cliche, but it's what I've learned to be true, which is, okay, so what are the characteristics here that perhaps God is trying to deal with in Sherry? And there were some very specific that kind of, you know, hot-tempered, quick in the moment, cut back kind of thing that God was wanting to work out in me.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, this person was the way that he was going to use to work that out. And so there was, once I realized there's no leaving right now because this is a project for you, what God is doing in you, then I had to say, okay, the quicker I submit to this is the quicker, hopefully, that it'll be over. But God has used specific people like that to kind of tamper down those instincts that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could be that, you know, something's being worked out in you. And
could be. It could be. She mentioned the gossip thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something. Could we all fall into that?
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to get together and gripe about the boss.
It's very difficult not to.
Very difficult not to do it. But that may be something too to go, okay, I'm going to honor God in this way. And again, you're not saying this person deserves respect.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying God deserves respect.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to serve this person out of love and respect for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that is his, he's apparently really pleased about that because again, the only reason you do that is for him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's his love language against like, you're submitting as if unto the Lord, it says in scripture, like,
mm-hmm.
so you're honoring your boss. Even if you leave, mm-hmm. you're honoring by not gossiping.
Yeah. I'm just going to leave this situation. And sometimes people don't know that they can do that.
Right.
But you can say, you know what, this isn't going to work anymore.
Praying for that person.
Yeah.
I'm leaving. Don't have to do this anymore. Side issue. I think we covered that stuff, but side mm-hmm. issue. I don't even know how to say this. I'm getting all frustrated.
Okay.
All tripped up. Out here on Dilemma Street.
It's bracing.
I'm out here tripping. Like literally.
No.
Literally tripping.
Yeah, it's literal tripping.
I'm not tripping, I'm okay. tripping.
Yeah, it's a hard G.
But people, maybe we talk about this sometime, but people in leadership positions, it just seems like this is all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Who I've read a lot of leadership books,
mm-hmm.
but couldn't lead somebody across the street
mm-hmm.
because of the narcissism. And it's just all over the place.
Music with the,
I know. Okay. I'll take the music out. But anyway, like,
yeah.
So they have the positional authority, and that's why they need the positional authority. Because
mm-hmm.
honestly, they don't. Some people are gifted in leadership just naturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't have to consume a leadership book on the hour every hour
mm-hmm.
because most of that's just common sense to them.
Right.
Not saying leadership books are bad.
Mm-hmm.
Should read some. It's fine. It's great.
Yeah.
But this, I see this fixation on them a lot of times from people that are only into positional authority because they really don't know how to lead people.
Mm-hmm.
And that positional authority is very tenuous for them because it means everything because otherwise they know.
Mm-hmm.
There are leaders in their organization that don't have their position mm-hmm. that people follow.
Yeah.
And that leads to bullying and trying to intimidate and insecurity and because they're in the wrong position, mm-hmm. honestly, and they're trying to compensate.
So. Yeah. I mean, well, are we going to talk about this at another time?
Yes.
Okay. All
so
righty.
Music's back. Anyway, I'm here on Dilemma Street.
Thanks, Caitlin.
Yeah, we high five. There you go, Caitlin. We're hanging out here in...
More to come.
Here we'll
on
talk
Dilemma
about it some
Street.
Other time. Oh, by the way, the email address, if you have a dilemma you want us to talk about, as friends, just kick around. It's brant@branthanson.com. B-R-A-N-T at branthanson, H-A-N-S-E-N.com. We'll be happy to talk about it.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to branthanson.com.